This is Day to Day from NPR News. There has been an indictment in the CIA leak case, and joining us now is NPR's Ari Shapiro from Washington, D.C. Ari, what do we know?
Well, we've just received this 10-page press release from the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, and it says, I'm quoting, Senior White House official I. Lewis Libby was indicted today on obstruction of justice, false statement, and perjury charges for allegedly lying how and when, in 2003, he learned and subsequently disclosed to reporters then-classified information concerning the employment of Valerie Wilson by the Central Intelligence Agency. So he received five counts in all. This is one count of obstruction of justice, two counts of perjury, two counts of making false statements. It's a five-count indictment, and if convicted of these charges, and this is only a statement of charges, it's not evidence of guilt, but if convicted on all five of these charges, the maximum penalty is 30 years in prison and a $1.25 million fine.
So these indeed are criminal charges?
Absolutely. These are five counts, criminal charges. Now, Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor, was initially assigned to investigate whether a crime had been committed in leaking the name of a CIA agent to the press. According to this public statement of charges, there was no charge brought on that fundamental basic crime that started out being investigated. These five counts are all related to actions that came about during the investigation. There's a very detailed description. You know what, actually, I'm going to correct myself. These charges are not all related to statements that Libby made during the investigation. Some of these are related to statements that Lewis Libby made, Rustard of NBC, Matt Cooper of Time Magazine, Judith Miller of the New York Times. So some of these charges are really about statements that Libby made to reporters. Even before the investigation began.
Now let's talk about Karl Rove. It was said earlier today that he was not going to be indicted, and then the word was that statement was amended in sort of rumor fashion today. What do you know about Karl Rove?
Well, there is nothing about Karl Rove in this document. We know that he was closely investigated, that many questions were asked about Karl Rove, that Rove was asked to come before the grand jury four times. But according to this document from Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, Karl Rove was not indicted today. Now, the document makes no mention of whether Fitzgerald will ask for an extension of the grand jury's term. At least on first glance, it does not appear to make any mention of that. It is possible that Fitzgerald could ask for an extension and that as the investigation proceeds, Rove or somebody else could be indicted as more information comes out.
It's been speculated that if indeed Lewis Libby were indicted today, he would resign fairly soon, even today.
That has been a speculation. The White House has been pretty fastidious about not making public comments about what it would do if indictments came down. White House spokesman Scott McClellan has said several times something to the effect that President Bush prefers to focus on things he can do something about. However, now that the indictment has come down, I would not be surprised if we saw a statement from the White House very soon. And it also seems likely that Lewis Libby, the vice president's chief of staff, would resign, having now been indicted on these five counts.
Thank you. NPR's Ari Shapiro. We're going to turn now to Larry Abramson, who's been following the grand jury investigation for quite a while now. Larry, what can you add to what Ari just told us?
Well, as Ari said, it's interesting that none of the original crime that was alleged, and that is exposing the identity of a covert CIA operative, Valerie Plame, that did not turn out to be a crime in this particular case. A lot of people pointed to the fact that the law that prevents, that makes it illegal to reveal those identities, has a very high standard. It says the person has to know what he's doing, that they have to deliberately do it with malice towards the United States. There are several other high standards to prevent accidental prosecution of people who do this mistakenly. And obviously, whatever Lewis Libby didn't meet that bar. However, we're going to have to read the indictment a little more carefully to figure out exactly what steps Patrick Fitzgerald believes Lewis Libby took in order to obstruct justice, as he's been charged, and this may have to do with the conversations that he had with these reporters, with Judith Miller, as we've heard, to indicate to them perhaps that they should not testify that he was the source of the name. That could be one of the sources that's been pointed out of possible obstruction of justice. And then, of course, we have perjury and false statements. Some Republicans last week on the talk shows were saying, well, you know, this will have less of an impact if it focuses on these on the investigation, on perjury before the grand jury, than if a charge is made for the actual leak. And you may hear that kind of spin afterwards.
Right. We're talking here about the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982. And you're suggesting it's really hard to interpret and hard to enforce.
That's right. It's only been used once in 1985 in a relatively obscure case against a woman who gave names to her Ghanaian boyfriend, who was an intelligence officer in Ghana. There's another law that they could have used, but it also had a high standard and isn't typically used to prosecute leaks to the press. And that's why this case also has some First Amendment implications. A lot of people were concerned that charging somebody for giving information to a reporter, basically, would set a bad precedent, would stifle leaks of classified information, which are sometimes necessary to shine a light, for example, on why the administration went to war. So it will be argued by some that it's only the way the investigation was handled, not the original discussion of Ms. Plame's identity that was found to be illegal.
Larry, explain. We just have a minute left here. Explain the grand jury for us, regular citizens in a room looking at these documents, hearing testimony for almost 2 years.
That's right. It must be quite an experience for these people. They don't meet every day like regular juries do. This grand jury met on Wednesday and Friday for part of the day. So, you know, it's a little bit more manageable, but you can imagine how intense it must have been to hear all of this testimony, to hear all of this information in the midst of the media glare that's been focusing on this case, and try to keep your thoughts straight. I'm sure they'll have an interesting tale to tell, except that they can't really tell it because of the grand jury secrecy rules that prevent any information from coming out. And that, of course, is with a goal toward preventing flimsy accusations from getting out in the public. A lot of people are probably the subject of grand juries who are completely innocent, and they're supposed to be protected from the discussion. Carl Rove's information, of course, will remain secret for the time being, but if he's indicted later on, that's when we'll know exactly what Patrick Fitzgerald found out about his role in all of this.
Thank you, Larry. NPR's Larry Abramson talking with us from Washington.